Today's daf is Midos, daf Lamed. Hey, we are holding a daf Lamed, Dalet and Beis. We read the first Mishnah yesterday of the second parak of Maseches Midos. Let's continue now with Mishnah Beis. Says the Mishnah, Kol ha-nechnas la-harabayis nechnas in derech yamin, u-makifin v'yotz in derech smol. Anyone who entered into harabayis, there is a klal in halacha, throughout all of halacha, that kol pinosh ha-tapon la-yuhel derech yamin, that whenever we have to turn somewhere, we always go right first. We have this halacha by Ner Chanukah, we have this halacha by a lot of different areas of halacha, by lulav, by all sorts of different halachas. You always turn right first. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the same was true when it came to going on to Harabayis. You would always have to, wherever you needed to go on Harabayis, you'd always have to take a right turn first and then walk around to wherever the location was that you needed to go. Makifin v'yotzin derech smol, and then you'd come out toward the left of where you had entered. Except for someone who is in some sort of unfortunate circumstance, which we'll see soon in the Mishnah, what kind of unfortunate circumstance we're talking about, where they would be makif derech smol, and the reason makif l'smol, they would go to the left, and the reason they would do that was dafka to draw attention to themselves, that they were going the wrong way on a one-way street. Everyone else is going the other way, and they're going the opposite direction, and that way people will notice who they are and what's going on. So, people would say, what are you doing? Why are you going the wrong way? So Shani Avel, one unfortunate circumstance that they might describe is that I am an Avel, they might say. So Ashochin Babayis Hazah, Yinachemcha, the one who resides in this house should be Menachim you as an Avel. This fits nicely for with what Eric Cohen was saying at the Kiddush yesterday, that the idea of much of what an Avel does is not so much for himself, but it's to draw attention to his Avelus, to the outside world. It's Klape Chutz. There's a lot of importance in terms of that part of the experience of the Avelus is that other people should realize that that he is an Avel. So he does this walking in the opposite direction, dafka to be ma'orer other people to the fact that he's an Avel. They're going to ask him, he's going to say that I am an Avel, and then he'll receive the words of Nechama. Sha'ani menudo, or another example is, again, also from the third parak of Ma'id Katan, that he'll say, not I'm an Avel, but I'm menuda, that I've been excommunicated. He also has to be noeg certain dine avelus, right? There are three types of people that are noeg dine avelus. There's the Avel, the menuda, and the mitzora. Now, the difference between, of course, the Avel versus the menuda and the mitzora is that the Avel did not bring it upon himself. The menuda and mitzora, in some way, brought it upon themselves. The menuda, the person who's in an excommunication, is in some sort of cherem, is noeg dine avelus on himself, meaning unlike an avel is noeg dine avelus on somebody else, on a karov, the menuda is noeg dine avelus on himself, because a nidui in its very essence is a curse that a person should die. Elamai, once there's a curse that he should die, so he has to be noeg almost like a pre-avelus on himself prior to his death or to the nidui being lifted. So that's why there are halachos of nidui. That's what we find in the famous Gemara in Bamitzian and Testin, Tanur Shalachnoi, the Gemara with the Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shua, where the Gemara finally at the end says, Lo b'shamayim hi, we find that Rabbi Lazar has to remove his shoes in that Gemara. Why does Rabbi Lazar have to remove his shoes? Because he's menuda, he's put into a nidui. So what? Why does someone who's in a nidui have to remove his shoes again? Because he has to be noeg dine avelus. That's the end of that Gemara, that Rabbi Lazar was put into nidui. That's why the Gemara says elsewhere that we don't pass like Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar shamutehu. So two interpretations of Rishonim, what shamute means. Either it means he's from the Talmidei Beis Shammai and we don't pass like him, or that he is menuda, he's in a shamta, he's in a form of a cherim, and that's why maybe we don't pass like him. But either way, if a person is menuda, he would also walk toward the left rather than toward the right. So Hashochim Bebayis Hazeh Yitin Belibcha V'Yikarvucha. So whoever notices this will ask him what he's doing. He'll say, Ani menuda, and then they would offer him words of comfort by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Belibecha, it should be Belibam, it changes to on the side. Kodesh Baruch Hu should put it in their hearts, the Beis Din that put you in a Nidui, that they should be Makariv you, they shouldn't excommunicate you. Adarabah, they should bring you back into the community. Divrei Rav Meir, that's how Rav Meir said the conversation was supposed to progress from his original left turn. Some of the Rabbi Yossi says, wait a second, is that an appropriate comment to make? That it's like, Asisim Ki'ilu Avru Alavis Hadin, you make the Beis Din that put him in Nidui sound like they did something wrong. They're not the ones who did something wrong. He's the one that deserved the nidui. They did very good. They did okay what the Beis Din did. So how can you say How can you say that it's that the Beis Din should fix their problem and they should be mekarifim? It's not their problem at all. Ela shochin b'bayis hazeh yitein b'libcha v'tishma l'divri chavirecha v'yikarvucha. No, they're saying you should do tshuva. You should start listening to other people, respecting other people's opinion, and be contrite in about what you've done, and then you should and then they'll be mekariv you, and that's ultimately what your destiny is in your own hands. So they'd give him a little bit of mussar. So it's interesting, when it comes to the Avel, the reason he has to turn left is so that other people can comfort him, so that other people can give him words of nechama. When it comes to the Menudah, the reason he has to turn left is so that other people can give him tochacha, can give him words of mussar, to let him know that according to the way Rabbi Yossi understands it, had given words of mussar so that you can hopefully do some tshuva. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. So now we described the Har HaBayis a little bit. We described where the Beis HaMikdash was situated in Har HaBayis a little bit, and we didn't get into too much detail, but at least we just got into relatively on the Har HaBayis how far off of each direction of each border of the Har HaBayis the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were. But now we're going to go further in toward the Beis HaMikdash and discuss the varying levels of Kedusha and the structure as we go further closer to the higher levels of Kedusha. So Lefnimi Manu Soreg. After the Har HaBayis, as you go further in, you hit the Soreg, which is a fence, Gavoa Yutfachim, that was 10 Tfachim tall, Vishalosh Esre Pirtos Hayubo, Shapartsu Malcha Yavan. There are 13 Pirtos in the Soreg that the Malcha Yavan, that the Greek kings were porets, that they had opened up in this fence. Chazru v'gadrum, Baruch Hashem, we were zocha to rebuild these pratzos. We were able to rebuild these breaches in the fence. V'gazru k'negdon yud gimel shtachavayos, and because of that, they made a gezerah that we would bow 13 different ishtachavayos k'neged the 13 repairs of the breaches in the fence, or k'neged the 13 breaches that were made in the fence, and the ishtachavayos, I guess, are in hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were able to repair these breaches. So once you pass the Soreg, now the Fnimi Menu, Hachel Eser Amos. You have an area of 10 Amos, an open area of 10 Amos, called the Chel, inside the Soreg. Vishnei Masar Ma'alos Hayusham. There were 12 steps by the Chel. Rom Mala Chatzi Amma, Vishilcha Chatzi Amma. Each step was one half Amma tall, high, and one half Amma across. So the steps were, so if you have 12 steps, each one going up a half Amma, it's going to raise you up 6 Ammos, obviously. Kala Hama'alos Shayusham, Rom Mala Chatzi Amma, Vishilcha Chatzi Amma, Chutz Mishal Ulam. And in general, all of the steps that we describe in the entire Beis HaMikdash are always going to be half Amma high, a half Amma in, except for the steps by the Ulam. Kala Psachim Shayusham, once we discuss what the steps look like, and we describe the steps of the entire Beis HaMikdash, so we talk about the basic structure of many other elements of the Beis HaMikdash. Kala Psachim Shayusham, Govan Chaf Amma, Virachvan Eser Amma, Chutz Mishal Ulam. All of the doorways, all of the doors in the Beis HaMikdash were 20 Amos high, 10 Amos wide. That is, it's huge. 20 Amos high, we're talking somewhere between 35 and 40 feet, so it's a very, very tall doorway, and 10 Amos wide, except for the Pesach of the Ulam. And that's why they had pishpishin, we were discussing yesterday, the little miniature doorways sometimes that we were able to go through. All of the doorways also had doors, except for the Ulam. That's a discussion in Mesechas Menachos. The Rishonim Mesechas Menachos discuss to have a din of a door, Legabe Hilchas Mezuzah. To have a din of a doorway, Legabe Hilchas Mezuzah, do you need a door? Or is it just good enough to have Shtei Mezuzos and a mashkof? Is it just good enough to have two doorposts and a lintel on top to be chayiv in mezuzah? I believe Shitas HaRambam is that you need an actual door, that it's not doorway is not chayiv in mezuzah unless there's an actual door. Not necessarily, it doesn't exactly doesn't necessarily relate to exactly what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. Just reminded me of it, this idea that all of the doorways required a door except for the doorway of the Ulam. Kala Sha'arim Sha, that's what, but it's halach l'maisa in terms of meaning that halach v'ilchus mezuzah. So obviously we put up a mezuzah and doorways as long as they have shtei mezuzahs and mashkof, even if there's no door. But if you're putting up all the mezuzahs in your house, so what they always recommend, you're going to make one bracha before you put up all the mezuzahs. So the bracha you should make is on, you should make the bracha before on the doorway, on a doorway that is definitely l'chol adeos, chayiv and mezuzah. A lot of the mezuzahs people tend to put up are l'chumra. Some are machlok shishonim, some are, you know, stam just l'chumra that they put up and things that may resemble a doorway. So we should be careful, dafka, to put up on the first one at least. Typically, I think people put it on the front door because that's where they make the bracha, because that's the one that's vaday. There's no question that it's going into a room that's dalet al dalet amos, etc., and it has all the chivim and mezuzah. So that's where one is supposed to make the bracha.
The pishpushin also have a mezuzah.
What?
The pishpushin does also have a mezuzah.
Oh, I don't know. In the Beis HaMikdash, I would assume they had mezuzahs, right? What, right? So, l'choru. Oh, no, you're right. Maybe it's like a Beis Knesses where they didn't have chayiv and mezuzah. Oh, maybe they didn't have mezuzah. Right, we don't find mezuzahs anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, do we ever see in any discussion of a mezuzah in the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, but some not. It was probably like a Beis Knesses, like a Beis Mikdash. In Beis Knesses, the halach is you don't need a mezuzah. So why do most shuls have a mezuzah? Because people pay thousands of dollars to dedicate the mezuzah in the Beis Knesses. But there's no chiv mezuzah in the Beis Knesses. So in the Beis Mikdash also.
The people slept here as opposed to Beis Knesses.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, I don't know.
But it also wouldn't be all parts of the Beis HaMikdash, wouldn't it? Like the front door here would require one, or the Beis HaMikdash itself.
Right. Yeah, but the Beis HaMikdash, the whole thing is Kedusha. So, I mean, that's because, you know, the Kiddush room doesn't have Kedusha.
Right.
But, okay, so Kol HaSharim, I'm not sure what they did about that. We have to look into that. Kol HaSharim Shayu Sham Hayu Lehen Shkufos Chutz Mishal Tadi Shayu Sham Shtei Avanim Motos Zu Al Gabe Zu. And all of the gates had Shkufos with Lashem Mashkof. It had a lintel on top. Meaning that's the tzura of a Tzura Sepesach. They have Shtei Mezuzos and a Mashkof on top. So all of the gates had a Mashkof on top except for Tadi, which was, again, a unique gate that we highlighted yesterday. That it was never used except for the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right? That it went out tachas what was it by the person who became a Balkeri went out through that gate, but the other shita in Tanayim that we had in the beginning of the Masechta was that it was never used. So all of these gates had a mashkof except for the gate of Tadi, Shayu Sham Shtevan and Motosol Gabizu, which instead just had two stones resting on each other, probably like a V-shaped top, like a triangular shaped top. Shouldn't say V because it's upside down. It comes to a point at the top. Kol Hasharim Shayu Sham Nishtanu Lios Shel Zav. All the gates were changed over to golden gates because that, you know, in Aniz Makom Hashiras, we went all out for the Beis HaMikdash. We wanted to look as beautiful and as elaborate and ornate as possible, except for Shar Nikanor because of the great miracle that happened when they brought those gates from Mitzrayim. I think it was right. The ship capsized and they had to throw one of the doors over, and the other one Nikanor grabbed onto and said, "You're gonna." Have to throw me over if you throw this one over, and the waters calmed, and he was very upset that he allowed them to throw the first one over, and then they found the other door underneath the boat the entire time. So because of that great nace, so we left that the way it was, which was a copper gate. Some say nothing to do with the nace. It wasn't about the nace that we kept it copper, but rather it was a very shiny copper, so there's no point in making it gold. It was just fine the way it was as copper. It was wonderful. The Mishnah Dalit, the Kolak Solim Shayusham, Hayu Gvom Chutz Mikosal HaMizrachi. All the walls were high except for the Kosal HaMizrachi, the Kosal that was facing out to Harazesim, right? The Kosal on the other side of the Kosal HaMaravi, the Kosal HaMizrachi. Shakoin Asorif Asapara Omid Barosh HaMishcha Miskavin Veroa Pepischo Shalhechel B'Shas HaZayas Adam. The halacha is that when the Kohen is burning the Paraduma for the ashes, so he part of the avoda, part of the service requires him sprinkling blood toward the Pesach HaHechel, but he has to actually see the Pesach HaHechel. Eichel. Not only does he have to standing on Har HaZeisim, he's not in the Beis. This is one of the only probably the only avoda that's other than Sir Azazel that's done outside of the Beis Hamikdash. This is an avoda that's done outside of the Beis Hamikdash, the burning of the Paraduma and the whole avoda of the Paraduma. So he would have to sprinkle the dam while looking at least directly toward the Eichel. The only way he would be able to look at the Eichel is if he could see if there wasn't a wall blocking. So that's why the Kotel Mizrahi was a lower Kotel. That's the Rishonim have to try to figure out exactly what he was supposed to see. Does he have to see the floor? Can he see higher up? And based on that, exactly how low the wall had to be and the different elevations of the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, it gets Lebedik trying to figure out exactly how his line of sight worked, but there had to be some sort of line of sight. Mishnah Hay. Now we're going back to the structure. Now we're leaving the rules. That was all an aside, the fact that we got into all these rules of what size all the doors need to be, what size all the walls need to be, what size, right? We're leaving all that. Now we're going back to entering further into the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So we already got through the Soreg and the Chel, and now we move in to the and the steps, and now we move into the Ezras Nashim. Ezras Nashim Haisa Orech Meo Shloshim V'Chamesh Al Rochav Meo Shloshim V'Chamesh. It was a perfect square, 135 Amos by 135 Amos. This is it's interesting if you're going to contrast the Ezras Nashim with the Ezras Yisrael. The Ezras Nashim was much larger, but unlike our Ezras Nashim in our shuls, the Ezras Nashim was not reserved for the women. It's just that's as far as the women ever went, but it wasn't reserved for the women only. We'll see soon. But it was 135 amos by 135 amos. Vidalu lishchos hayu bedal mitzoseh shel mem mem ama, and there were 40 ama long chambers in each of the four corners of the Ezras Nashim that obviously ate into the space of the Ezras Nashim a great deal. Now they weren't 40 by 40 amos squares; they were 40 amos by 35 amos. But either way, it took up 40 amos along the length of the Ezras Nashim for each one, and they were in all four corners. So it took up a total of 80 amos along the length on each side. V'loa yimukuros, and they were not mukuros; they did not have a ceiling over it. V'kachei masidim lios. And that's the way it's going to be in the third base of Mikdash as well. Shnemer v'yotzieni al chatzar chitzon v'avreni al baras miktsoy chatzar mina chatzar b'miktsoy chatzar v'gomer barbas miktsoy chatzar chatzeros keturos. What does keturos mean? That we're talking about the four corners of this chatzar, the Ezras Nashim, where we're describing what the third base of Mikdash, where Yecheskel and Navi is describing what the third base of Mikdash is going to be like. So what does it mean? Keturos v'in keturos elashen mekuros. Keturos means that it's not going to have a ceiling on it. That's the idea of these. Of these rooms in the Ezras Nashim. Umayim Shamshos, what were these rooms, these Lashachos in the corners of the Ezras Nashim for? So Dromus Mizrachis, Hiyasa Lishchas HaNazirim. The one that was in the southeast was the Lishchas HaNazirim. What happened there? Sheshama Nazirim Mevashlim Eshlamehem, Umagalchim Esaron, Umashalchim Tachas Adud. That's where they would cook their carbon shlamim. It's where they would. The Nazir would shave off his hair. The Nazir, part of the procedure of Nazir, we're used to thinking of the Nazir as growing his hair, and that's true. During his period of Nazirus, he grows his hair. As soon as his Nazirus is over, though, he brings his Karbanos, and part of his Karbanos process, and part of his Tara process, not Tara process, but part of his process of bringing Karbanos and of getting out of his Nazirus, is shaving his hair and burning his hair, Tachas Hadud, underneath the pot that was burning over a fire. That was all part of the procedure. And he would have to mamish. Shave off all of his hair. That's Seido Chalosa, say, of the Isra of Hakafas HaRosh. Normally, that's why the Gemara Nazir discusses whether Hakafas Kala Rosh is Daraisa or not. Whether that's a violation of Hakafas HaRosh for a person to shave their head entirely. We know that definitely it's a violation of Nisa Daraisa for a person to leave their hair on top and shave the sides of their head, cutting off the pace. But to shave the head entirely is a machlokas, whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan. It's certainly Aser, no matter how in style it is. Some people go balding, you see that it's much more in style these days. There's no question that it's Asir to be makiv kal harosh, but for the nazir, it was a mitzvah. The nazir had to do it. He had to do the hakavas kal harosh. He had to be megaleach all of his hair, and he would be mishaleach tachas hadud. Mizrachus tzfonis, he is a lishcha seitzim. Now we move on to the next room in the Ezros Nashim. That was the one on the northeast side, and that was the lishcha seitzim. What happened there? Sheshama kohanim balimumin, the kohanim were balimum, and therefore were unable to do the actual avoda. So they didn't go off scot-free and not do anything. They still had to use whatever abilities they had to be able to contribute to the avoda. So matlima etzim, they would deworm the wood. Any wood that had worms in it was not allowed to be used on the mizbeach. So they had to inspect the wood very carefully and make sure there were no worms in any of the wood. That was done by kohanim balei mumin. That was their contribution. Tzvonis maravis, the northwest side room, he is a lishchas mitzorayim. That was the lishcha of the mitzorayim. The mitzora had to go through a tahara process, and part of the tahara process was to have, first he had to go to the mikveh, so there was a mikveh in this room. He also had to have blood sprinkled on bo and yadoy emanis, bo and ragloy emanis, and his ear. So his thumb, his big toe, and his ear, his right thumb, right big toe, and his right ear, in the Azara. But the thing is, it was like catch 22. He couldn't really go into the Azara yet. So he would hang out in the Ezros Nashim until the time came where he would stick his finger or his toe or his ear into the Azara, and that's where the blood was placed on those parts of his body, and that would enable him to complete his tahara process. That was after waiting 7 full days. So this is the Lishchas Mitzrayim, where all the preparations happened and where there was a mikveh. Marav is Dromis, the one in the southwest, the room in the southwest. Interesting line in the Mishnah. Amar Belozer ben Yaakov, shachachti masha isa mishameshes. Says, I forgot, I don't remember what that was used for. Why do we have to record? I mean, I'm sure that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was not the only Jew in history that forgot what that room was used for. Why do we have to record that that he had forgotten what it was used for? So it could be that to show he disagreed with Abishol. That maybe whatever Abishol is going to say, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov maybe doesn't accept. He says, it wasn't that, but I'm not sure what it was. I don't remember what it was used for. Or maybe Hitaka does agree with Abishol, and stam, it's a Dvar Musar. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would stick in a little bit of Musar every once in a while. It's a Dvar Musar, that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov could forget something sometimes, that it's not so unusual. Sometimes Rashi will write, we've seen a few times where Rashi will write Eini Yodea Ma Pirusha, like I don't know what the pshat is over here. So he writes them because sometimes it's important to know that you could say I don't know, and you could still move on in learning. You try your best. Abishol says, I know what it was used for. Sheshama Yunosin Yayin Veshemen. He is a nikres lishchas beishmanya. That's where the wine and the oil was kept. They had all these nesachim that they had to have. Of wine and oil on the mizbeach. Anyone who brought karbanos, so if they had nesachim that had to be brought along with their karbanos, so where would they have wine and oil available to them? This is where they kept all of the wine and the oil, and it was called lishchas beishmanya. A little interesting that it was called lishchas beishmanya when it held both wine and oil. Why is it dafka called by the shemen and not by the yayin? I'm not sure. Didn't see any discussion about this. But okay, just thought I'd point it out. So that was called Lishchas Beis Shmanya. The Chalaka Hesa Barosha, this is a line that we discussed a little bit yesterday, that originally it was straight, V'kifua Kitzutra, but then they surrounded it with a balcony, Sha'anashim Ros Milamalan Va'anashim Milamatan, Kadesh Lo Yumu Ravin, where the women would see from above and the men would be below, in order that they should not mix. Now, what does it mean, Barosha? So some have the Girsa Barishona, that the Gras of Barosha means during the first Beis Hamikdash, the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, which would be Barishona. Rabbeinu Shmaya and the Rosh and Rashi Masechta Sukkah, right? It was Chalaka, meaning that there were Zizim Yotzim and Akosel, but the Kosel, but there definitely there were no Zizim Yotzim and Akosel originally, but the Kosel was, there were no protrusions from the wall, but there was definitely a wall even Barishona. That's how they understand. The Rambam Meiri say that Rishona there was no Kosel at all. It was just completely Prutz. It was completely opened. Either way, they made some sort of major tikkun in order to separate the men and the women. This sugya is discussed in Talmud Bavli Masechta Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. We mentioned the Mishnah says over there Mishalora Simchas Pesach Shoeva lo simcha miyamav. The greatest joy anyone could ever see is the simchas beis hashoeva. Motzai yomtov harishon shulchag yardu lazus nashim. On the motzai yomtov harishon shulchag, on the second night of Sukkot, they went down to the azus nashim. Umisaknin sham tikun gadol, and they made a great tikun over there. The Mishnah and Sukkah says. So says the Gemara, my tikun gadol. What is this great tikun? Amar Rav Elazar kosa shishninu chalak ha'isa b'rishana v'kifuag zustra. Exactly our Mishnah. The tikun gadol was v'hiskinu shiu nashim yoshos milamalava nashim milamata, that women would sit in the balcony, men would sit down below. B'ritan rabban b'rishana yinashim yibefnim v'anashim yibechutz. Gemara goes on to say, it used to be that women were on the inside, men were on the outside, meaning it was never okay in the Beis HaMikdash to just have mingling, just have the men and the women mingling together. No, originally they just separated them on different sides of the room. The women were on the inside, the men were on the outside. But that still led to Kalas Rosh. So then they decided to flip them, to have the women sit mibachutz and the men sit mibefnim. But guess what? It still led to Kalas Rosh. It didn't work. So they made a takana that the women sit above, the men sit below. Frek the Gemara, we read yesterday, we pointed out yesterday in the introduction to the Masechta that everything, according to the Navi in Divrei Yamim, everything was spelled out exactly how it was supposed to look in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not allowed to change the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So Amarav, Krash, Chuvadarsh, Pasuk in Zechariah, V'safta ha'aretz mishpachos mishpachos levad mishpachos beis davar levad v'nasheim levad, that when describing the hesped of the Mashiach ben Yosef, so it describes that there was a hesped of mishpachos and the nashim separate, that the men in the mishpacha and the women sat separately, and they made a kal v'chomer if lasa lava shoskin behesped v'en yitzara shalait bahem, in a time of hesped the yitzara is really not so great. Still, amr tara nashim levad v'nashim levad, still the men and the women had to be separate. Achshav shasukin besimcha v'yitzara shalait bahem alachas kama v'kama. So whenever it's a time of simcha, like by the simchas beis hashoeva, so alachas kama v'kama. This is the source of the need for a mechitza in a Beis HaKnesses. Obviously, there are a lot of Gemara Megillah Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph refers to a Beis HaKnesses as a mikdash ma'at, and that's not just a homiletical idea. It expresses itself in halacha in many, many ways. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher Bamidbar Siman Nun Dalid has a list of many examples of how a Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at in terms of the mitzvah to build it, the Yisrael to destroy it, many, many structural similarities. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi, Simin Yud Beis, also discusses this concept of Mikdash Ma'at, and he describes that the Yisod is that in the Beis HaMikdash we are meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his turf. In the Beis HaKnesses, we are also having a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except it's on our turf. It's in our own place that we're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the halacha. That's why we have to have a mechitza in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, it is not mentioned anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you need a mechitza in the Beis HaKnesses. Tzitz Eliezer points out in a tshuva, Chelek Zayin Siman Ches, that it probably is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch because it never came up, because women didn't go to shul so much back in the day. So since they didn't go to shul so much, so it didn't have to be mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. What is the purpose of having, first of all, is this a din d'oraisa? So Rav Moshe has a raya that we don't really have time to go into, but in Igros Moshe, Rechaim Chelek Aleph Siman Lamentes, he demonstrates from that Gemara in Sukkah very carefully how that Gemara will only make sense if there's a din d'oraisa, that you need to have a mechitza. The others add that there may be other dinim d'oraisa at stake also. Nefesh HaRav, page Reish Lam Beis, Rav Shechter points out that it may be a chukas akum issue, that the Rav Salvechik thought maybe a chukas akum issue, because that's the way the Goyim worship. Any mode of worship that's taken from the Goyim is a violation of chukas akum in the worst level. That's why the Rav held stained glass windows. He held was a violation of chukas akum because he thought that was something that was taken from the churches. I think he said that in a shir once, that he was giving a Lampert auditorium which is full of stained glass windows, and he had to apologize the next day. But that may be a chukas akum issue. There are several other issues that may be violated, obviously, without a mechitza. Now, what's the purpose of the mechitza? So this is a major machlokas haposkim. Rav Moshe There's a stir in the Rambam, basically. The Rambam in the Pirshim Mishnayis to Sukkah seems to say that we need a machitza so you don't see, so that the men don't see the women. In Hilchos Beis HaMechira, Perakei Alachatas, in Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'lulav, Perakhas Alach Yud Beis, he says that we shouldn't mix, that we shouldn't mingle. Now, obviously, very, very big nafkamina, lemaisa. Can you have a glass machitza? Can you have a machitza where you can see, but you can't mingle? Can you have a machitza at shoulder height where you can still see the women, but you're not going to be able to mingle together with them? The Satmar Rebbe famously in Divrei Yoel Chelek Aleph Siman Yud says that what the Rama must mean is that you're not allowed to see. That's the one which take literally. And when he says that they're not allowed to mingle, it means that seeing is as bad as mingling. That seeing is as if you're visually mingling. The two genders are visually mingling when they see each other. Rav Moshe says no. If you just see in the absence of proper separation, then it could lead to mingling. But when there is a proper separation, seeing isn't the problem. It's the fact that and then it's actionable, meaning you can see, and then you can come to mingling. But if there's a separation that you're not going to come to mingling, then you would not need a mechitza. Then, of course, you would need a mechitza. You would not. The mechitza would be serving its purpose if you're able to see. That's where Moshe held. Shoulder height is good enough to create a separation. If it's like waist high, so people could still mingle. You could pass things over and talk over it easily or whatever. So that's not appropriate. There are many shuls that are makbid dafka to have a balcony, because the tzur of the Beis Hamikdash, they dafka built a balcony. Okay, there's a lot to talk about in terms of Hilchos Mechitza, but you should know this is, other than the end of Masechta Sukkah, this is the source in Mishnayis, at least, where we learn about the need for a Mechitza. Okay, Vayter, V'tesvav Malos Olos Mitochel Ezros Yisrael, there were 15 Milos that went, 15 steps that went from the Ezros Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael, Kineget Tesvav Malos Shabbatilim, and they corresponded to the 15 Malos in Tehillim, the 15 Shira Malos paragraphs that begin with the word Shira Malos in Tehillim, Shalem Alevim Amr Shir, and it was on those 15 steps that the Levim would sing Shira. Loa Yutrutos Elam Kafos Khatsigor Nagula. They weren't straight steps, they were circular steps, a semicircle. They were Khatsigor Nagula. The other place in Halacha where we have that is that's how the Sanhedrin sat. I can't think of any other halachas, but that's how the Sanhedrin sat in such a format, where they would sit in a semicircle that each of them could see the other one. So when they're discussing things, it's important to see a person's face when you're talking to them to get a real sense of how passionate they are, how serious they are about things, to pick up on nuances in language and pick up on when someone is being sarcastic or whatever. So that was very important, that they needed to see each other's faces. But by the Levim, that's the way they would do the Shira, they would play the instruments and they would sing on these steps. We discussed recently, the Gemara also at the end of Sukkah talks about the Shir HaMalos that David HaMelech composed when the waters were threatening to flood the entire world, and when he was doing the excavation for the Beis HaMikdash, so the waters were coming up from the Tahom and threatening to flood the entire world, so he said Shir HaMalos to bring the waters down. So the Gemara says Shir HaMalos, then he should have said Shir HaYordos. He should have knocked the waters down. He says no, they took the Shem Hashem and they threw it in, and that knocked the waters down, but it knocked the waters down too far, where there was no, the earth would have been too dry. Mm-hmm. So he had to say Shir HaMalos to bring the waters back up, 15 of the 16 parsaos that originally went down, so it'll be closer to ground level, but it still won't flood the entire world. Mishnah Vav, Lishchos HaYitachas Ezros Yisrael, Psuchos Ezros Nashim, there were these Lishchos, these chambers underneath the Ezros Yisrael that opened up into the Ezros Nashim, Shesham Alvim, Nelson Kinoros, and Volum, and Saltam Chol Klei Shir, and that's where the Levim kept these underground storage facilities, housed all of the various musical instruments. Now we move on from the Ezros Nashim up the steps to the Ezros Yisrael is a orach mea amma v'shloshim v'chamesh al roch v'chasasrei. Right, it was 135 amos across, but it only went 11 amos further in toward the Makom Kadosh, because that it still went across the whole span of where the Ezros Nashim was, but only went 11 amos further in. V'chein Ezros Kohanim ha'isa orach kuf amma v'lamin hei al roch v'yud aleph. And also Ezros Kohanim was the same dimensions as Ezros Yisrael, just a little bit again further in. V'rashay pispasin mavdil ben Ezros Yisrael Ezros Kohanim, and they had like the ends of beams that were like these poles sticking out in the ground that would separate the Ezros Yisrael from the Ezros Kohanim. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Maila Hisa Gavoa, amma vaducha nasun aleha, that there was a one amma high step that the platform of the Kohanim was placed on, ubas shalosh malos shel chatzi amma, and on top of this one amma step were another three smaller steps, each one being a half amma. Nimtzes Ezra's Kohanim gavom Ezra Yisrael shtei amos mechza. So it turns out that the Ezra's Kohanim was 2.5 amos above the Ezra's Yisrael. Kol ha'azara yisa orech meyo shmona v'sheva al roch of meyo shloshim v'chamesh. The entire azara was, now that we get into the actual azara, the entire azara was 187 by 135 amos. Yud Gimel Hishtachavayos Hayusham, they would do 13 Hishtachavayos, 13 bowings. Abi Yossi ben Chanan Omer Keneged Yud Gimel Sha'arim. The 13 Hishtachavayos were Keneged the 13 gates in the Azara. What were these 13 gates? So now the Mishnah is going to list off exactly the names of all the 13 gates. Dromim Smuch in the Marav, the southern gates starting from the west were Shara Elyon, Shara Delek, Shara Bechoros, Shara Mayim. Those are the names of the four gates on the south side. V'loma Nikra Shmo Shara Mayim. Why was there a gate that was called Shar HaMayim? Shabo Machnisin Slocha Shalmayim Shal Nisuch Chag. That's where they would bring in the water that they would use for Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, and that was a very great celebration. It was something that people would remember. Again, it was a Simcha, that Misha Lora Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, Lora Simcha Miyamav. So certainly it made sense that the gate was called year-round by the by its big day, by when they would do the Shar HaMayim, when they would do the Nisach HaMayim on Chag. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Bo HaMayim Mefachim V'asidim Lios Yotzin Mitachas Miftan Abayis. That's where the waterway that's going to come out from the Beis HaMikdash, by the third Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be... like the system that cleans out the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have a water that comes out, it's going to come out through Shar HaMayim. Ulu Umasan B'Tzafo, now going to the north, what are the gates called in the north? Smuch L'Marav, again starting from the west, Shar Yechanya, Shar HaKorban, Shar HaNashim, Shar HaShir. So those were the four gates in the north. V'lama Nikra Shmo Shar Yechanya. Why was it called Shar Yechanya? Shabo Yatza Yechanya Begalusa. When Yechanya, one of the Malchi Yehuda, was sent into Galus. So before he went out into Galus, he went to the Beis HaMikdash to say goodbye. He went, tearfully to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where he went out. He went out through Shar Yechanya, and therefore was always called afterwards Shar Yechanya. Shabbat Mizrach Shar Nikanar. And the eastern side, yet Shar Nikanar. Ubeis Pishpish in Hayulo, and it had two smaller openings, two smaller doors by the Mizrach, by Shar Nikanor, Echad Miyamino v'Echad Mismolo, one on the right side of Shar Nikanor and one on the left side of Shar Nikanor. V'shnayim b'marav lo hayolam shem. And then, if you're keeping count, we had four, eight, how many did we have? I already forgot. Whatever it was, we were supposed to have 13 sharim, so we had 11, yeah, until this point, because I guess counting the two pishpashin, it gets to 11. And then Shnayim Bemarav, Lo Yelam Shem. The two in the west didn't have, two more in the west didn't have a name, so we don't have any names for those. Okay, but those were the 13 gates. I guess nothing that eventful happened by those two gates that we were able to give them a name. So Hadron Harabayis, that is the end of the second parak of Maseches Midos, and I have to get to Yeshiva, so we'll start the third parak of Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.